Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today, and I hope that you are having a great day. It's a little bit warm here today. We actually had just a little bit of a sprinkle, not really enough to make things wet, but enough to make things very, very humid. Still, we're thankful for the rain that we have been receiving lately, especially after the dry time we had in the middle of the summer. It's good to see everything lush and green again. And we're just thankful for God's blessings and how He has taken care of us and meeting our needs. And it's good to be able to come together today to meet with Him, to experience Him, to know that He wants us to know Him. And since we have this time before Him, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day that You have given to us. Father, that You have given us this time to meet with You. Oh Lord God, to hear from You. Father, I pray that You open our minds, our hearts to Your Word, O God. Father, I pray that You'll speak to us, that we'll hear You. Father, that we'll be eternally changed from being in Your presence. Father, speak to us, we pray, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I hope that you are having a great day, that you're seeing God work and move and answer your prayers. But maybe you're not having one of those days. In fact, it is maybe you're having a day where everything goes wrong. Maybe you're having a day where it seems like from the time you've gotten up, everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. Or it may be that you're having a day that's worse than that. You may be going through a season or time in your life that, frankly, this day makes one of those days look like a good day. Maybe you're going through a time where you have just been tremendously worn down, and what you are facing is in fact just burdening you, and it's causing you just to be worn down physically, emotionally, spiritually, much like the psalmist that we see as we open God's Word to Psalm 102, where we read in verses 4 through 11, "My heart has been smitten like grass and has withered away. Indeed, I forget to eat my bread because of the loudness of my groaning. My bones cling to my flesh. I resemble a pelican of the wilderness. I become like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I become like a lonely bird on a housetop. My enemies have reproached me all day long. Those who deride me have used my name as a curse. For I've eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a lengthened shadow." Maybe you can relate to what the psalmist is saying. Maybe you're there. And yet what is amazing is that even in times such as this, the psalmist was still able to pray. You think about what we read in verses 1 through 2. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me in the day when I call. Answer me quickly." Even in the midst of times like what he described here, the psalmist was still able to pray. Now, I know we realize and we would all very quickly say, well, of course he could pray. You should always be able to pray. We should be able to pray. Doesn't matter what the situation is, we should be able to pray. But I have no doubt all of us have been through times and circumstances that, again, have so worn us down that we find it very difficult to pray. We find it very difficult to focus. Quite frankly, may even have a hard time getting motivated to pray because maybe this whole thing, whatever it is you're going through, has lasted so long. What enabled the psalmist to pray that way? What can we learn from him? Well, as we look at the very first part of verse 12, we see why the psalmist was able to pray. "But you, O Lord," it was God himself that enabled the psalmist to pray. It was, in fact, looking upon him, knowing him, recognizing how he is and who he is that enabled the psalmist to pray. It was God himself, which is why it's so very important for us when we go through a time of difficulty and adversity, heartache, heartbreak, times that just wear us down, times that trouble our souls, how we need to, in fact, focus upon God himself. Well, when we look upon God, what exactly do we see? What do we focus on with Him when we look to Him? Well, first of all, we're reminded of the fact that God is sovereign. Think about what we read in verse 12. "But you, O Lord, abide forever, and your name to all generations." The word "abide" there does not just mean that God will always exist, though certainly that's true. The idea there is that God sits enthroned. That means he's on his throne. He rules, he reigns, he's in control. You know, what a tremendous encouragement to pray. When we pray, we're not just venting our emotions, and there may be some therapeutic benefit in that. We're not merely sharing, although obviously sharing with those who love us is a tremendous help. We're not just venting, we're not just sharing. We are seeking the help from the one who's in absolute control. The one who can solve any problem, the one who can meet any need, the one who can in fact answer any problem. We're in fact seeking the God who is sovereign. No wonder the psalmist sought him in prayer. No wonder we should be able to seek him in prayer. So we see that God is sovereign, but we also are reminded of the fact that God is gracious. And I say that we're putting two thoughts together that we see in verse 13. He says, "You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to be gracious to her." Obviously, two key words there, compassion and gracious, and I'm putting them all under that latter one, gracious. But you think about what those two words mean. Compassion, obviously, you know, we hear that and we think, well, God feels sorry for us, and, you know, that's true. But the idea there is that God cares enough about us to act. Compassion in the biblical sense means you not only see the person going through that and you think, man, that, I hate that they're going through that, but you care enough to act. God is, in fact, compassionate. He cares enough to act. He is gracious. And again, you think about that wonderful word of grace, God intervening, God working, God doing for us what we do not deserve, have not earned, can never repay him for. Obviously, first and foremost, in the area of salvation, it is all of grace. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. We can never repay him for it. And yet, every last bit of it is by his grace. And that's not the beginning of God's gracious work in our life. It is, in fact, the beginning. You think about how many of Paul's epistles in the New Testament speak of grace and peace unto you. He's not just looking back at the fact that, oh, well, you received grace back when you trusted Christ as your Savior. But he meant this very day, God wants to give you grace. God wants to do for you what you do not deserve, have not earned, and can never, ever repay. God wants to work and move in your life. God cares about what we're facing, so much so that he wants to act, and he wants to act based upon his grace. That's why we can seek him in prayer. And you think of the difference this makes in verses 14 through 22. "Surely your servants shall find pleasure in her stones," talking about Zion that he mentioned up in verse 13, "and feel pity for her dust. So the nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord has built up Zion. He has appeared in his glory. He has regarded the prayer of the destitute and has not despised their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from his holy height, from heaven the Lord gazed upon the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to set free those who are doomed to death, that men may tell of the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord." You think about that. God cares enough to act based upon his grace. Child of God, you are just that, a child of God, a child of the Father who loves you, who cares about everything that you're going through and desires to intervene. You think about this, just that picture that he himself uses, that's where we get it from, our Heavenly Father. You think with me, what decent, good father doesn't care what his children are going through? There's not a single good father who doesn't. What good father will not intervene in the life of his child for what that child needs? Certainly every good father will intervene. Well, if a weak, frail human father can do that, how much more our Heavenly Father? And by the way, this intervention includes his perfect wisdom to know the right way to intervene toward the right ends. We have a God who is gracious. He cares enough to act, and he acts simply out of the goodness of his heart and his love for us. What a God we have. What a reason we have to pray. And so we see that God is sovereign. He is gracious. But notice what else. He is faithful. "For the appointed time has come." God has a plan and he will fulfill it to the very second of that plan. You think about Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for well-being and not for calamity, that you might have a future and a hope." You think about what we read in Philippians 1:6, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect until the day of Christ Jesus. God is in fact faithful. He has not forgotten you. He's not abandoned you. God will forever be faithful to you and to his promises to you. You think with me the promises that God made concerning the gift of his Son. You know, the first prophecy that you see about the coming Messiah, the coming Christ, the coming Savior, was way back in Genesis chapter 3. And you think of all those chapters until you get to the New Testament, until you get to the birth of Christ. You think about all those centuries that all those chapters covered. And yet God kept his promise. In fact, he added to it and made it even more amazing, more remarkable, and more beautiful, and he fulfilled every last one of those. We have a God who's in fact faithful. And he's just as faithful to us in these days in our lives. And when we turn our eyes to look at him, we see one who is faithful. But then lastly, we also see that God is eternal. And that means far more than the fact that God has always existed and always will exist. Look what we see in verses 23 through 28, and especially the very first part of verse 27. He has weakened my strength in the way. He has shortened my days. I say, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Even they will perish, but you will endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment. Like a clothing you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Did you catch that in the first part of verse 27? But you, O God, are the same. Meaning that God is not one bit weaker. God is not one bit slower. God is not one bit less than what he has ever been. And 1,000 years from now, and when time is no more, God will not be one bit weaker then than he was in eternity past. He'll not be any slower then than he was in eternity past. He'll be no less wise in eternity to come as he was in eternity past. God is God, and he forever will be God. And who God was, he is, and forever will be. And what God did, he does, and forever will do it. We have a God who is in fact unchanging. This is why, you know, even in the worst of times, we can go to God's word, learn who he is, and trust him because he hasn't changed. He is still the almighty, sovereign, faithful, gracious God, and we can trust him. Now again, like the psalmist, you may be at a point in time in your life that makes one of those bad days seem like a good day. And you're struggling and you're worn down. Like the psalmist, turn your heart toward the Lord. Take a look at him, and because of who he is, seek him in prayer and rest in him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, and O Lord, that you truly are the living God. And Father, I pray especially for those who are having difficult days, and Father, even more so for those who are having days far beyond difficult. Very dark, dreary days that have worn them down. Oh, Lord God, open their eyes so they can see you. And as a result of seeing you, rest in you. Lift them, carry them, guide them. Let them experience your power and your nearness and your love and your faithfulness is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, it's been good to be with you. It's been even better to be with our Lord. I hope that you have seen him even better, even more in his fullness and his glory. I hope that you know him, that you can walk with him and trust him. And I hope that through him that you can in fact experience his power through this day.